Okay. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We've been talking about that verse for some time now, and we've looked at the different parts of that and what God has called us to do and why we are called to be sober and be vigilant. Called to have a right mind. We're called to make sure that we're watching out because we have an adversary. The devil just isn't out there being mean to generic folks and situations, but he's looking at each one of us specifically and saying, you know, he is against us. He declares it. He's out on the hunt. So the next part of that, if you look at verse 9, says, resist him steadfast in the faith. And what we want to move to now in this series is to very briefly talk about how to resist that devil who is on the prowl, who's on the hunt. Okay? Be sober. Have a right mind. That's one of the first ways that you resist the devil. You know? Right thinking, clear thinking. And it's not just about not drinking or not doing drugs or whatever, but it's about, you know, keeping your mind the right way. And obviously, you know, if we put things into our body, if we do things that make us not have a right mind, then how can we possibly, you know, resist the devil? And then be vigilant. We got to constantly be watching. Be ready, because the devil is going to attack. You know, what's the thing that we've learned throughout history? The sneak attack is usually the best attack. You don't get a phone call that says, you know what? We'll be there tomorrow about 9, maybe 9:30. D-Day would not have worked. I mean, the Germans were ready enough on D-Day. You know, it's a good example. And actually, you know, the way that goes, if you know your history, is that even though they had defenses on that beach in France, it wasn't nearly what they could have had. And so if the Allied forces had made a phone call beforehand and, you know, told the German forces, yeah, we'll be there, yeah, Wednesday, probably about 8-ish, what do you think they would have done? So the devil's not going to do that with you. You're not going to get that phone call. There's that commercial out. You've seen it now. You know, it says your heart attack will arrive next Thursday. Well, it doesn't work that way. That's not how he works. So we have to be vigilant. We have to constantly be watching. And we have to be ready for when that attack happens. And so where we're going to move from our passage in 1 Peter is we're going to go back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is in the front part of your New Testament. You'll find the Gospels, and then you'll find 2 Corinthians, you know, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then we've got Galatians and Ephesians. So it's one of Paul's letters. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So take up the armor of God so at the end of the fight, after Satan's done, when he has given everything he's got and thrown it all at you, you're still standing. Now, this is a whole series. I mean, we could do this for months talking about the armor of God, so we're just going to very briefly touch on that today as we're looking at this series. But the bottom line of the whole thing is for us to realize that with the way that the world is today, we know that Satan is at work. It's obvious. And we as Christians need to resist and to be able to stand when it's all said and done. Because a lot of people are not standing. A lot of people are not resisting what the devil is throwing at them. And one of the ways that's happening in the American church today in particular, as we look at various denominations, particularly a lot of the main lines, is that they are becoming complacent. That's one of Satan's greatest weapons, is complacency. If he can make you not care or think that it's not a big deal, he's going to win. And he's done that with in a whole Christian bodies where their teachings have gotten away from what God clearly says in this book. And they have come to a point where, well, that may not be okay for you, or it may not be okay for me, but if it's okay for you, then what do I have to say about it? Well, with things like that, God has a lot to say about it. God has a lot to say about it. You know, look at the most prevalent example we have in this country today is the whole battle on, you know, the same-sex marriages. States have passed laws, and one by one, they're all being overturned. And they're saying, you know, that's not fair. You're not going to find that in the Word of God. The Word of God does not promise that everything is going to be fair. No, God lays out a plan for humanity, which is the best plan for us, so that we do not hurt and destroy one another if we follow the commandments of God. Because the bottom line is all about love. And that's one of the arguments on the other side. Is, well, it's about love. You can't tell people who they're supposed to love. God tells us exactly who we're supposed to love. So you see, we see this all the time. And Satan is constantly getting that door open a little bit wider and a little bit wider. And we have to resist and to stand. Because we know it's not God's plan for humanity. We know it in that particular case with the whole same-sex marriage thing. We know it in Holy Scripture. We know it in created order. Man was made for woman, woman made for man. We know that's how it works. You know? I was going to say take a ninth grade biology class, but boy, ninth grade, that's long past. Probably learning that in third grade. But we know how it works. We know how God created us. We know what He says in Holy Scripture. We have no right to change that because we think that God is doing something different. Remember, in one of the first parts of the series, I talked about a mainline Christian denomination, a rather large Christian denomination that had banners, did this campaign with commercials and everything else, and what they said was, God is still speaking. And what they meant was that it's now okay to have those kinds of relationships and those kinds of marriages and everything. And every time I saw that, I wanted to run up on their lawn and with a Sharpie and on their banner that says, God is still speaking, and I wanted to add, and He hasn't changed His mind. Because God has not changed His mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, who was and is to come. God has not changed His mind just because we think He did, or we want Him to. But that's not who our God is. God's laid it out for us pretty clearly. And so when these attacks come, we have to be able to say, because you're in this book all the time and you're studying and you know what it says and you know the plan that God has for humanity, you have to be able to say, well, that's not of God. That, you know, we hear some of these things and we go, that doesn't sound right. You know. So we can't change the laws on marriage. Well, but you can't regulate morality, Father Chris. You can't have laws that regulate morality. Well, guess what? That's what every law does. That's all the law is it regulates morality. That's what God's law is. That's what the Ten Commandments are. They regulate morality. We have to decide what's acceptable and what isn't. So a man and a woman getting married are acceptable. But society said for a long time that a man marrying a very young girl, 10, 11 years old, well, we'd be up in arms about that. So we would never pass a law that would allow that, would we? We're regulating morality, aren't we? Because guess what? Believe it or not, there's some people out there in the world that would be just fine with having that be okay. Now they're sick in the head, and they need help, and they need our prayers. But they're out there. And the same people that advocate for the whole same-sex marriage thing Some of them will even say, well, yes, but you can't marry two people or three people or four people. And the question is, why not? And they'll say, well, you can't regulate morality, so we have to have same-sex marriages. And I said, well, then if that's the case, then why can't, you know, we have three, four, five, six husbands or wives or whatever? God help us. Nobody would, and because I married the perfect woman, I have one perfect wife, and that's all I need. God has blessed me. That wasn't a very good save, was it? So, that's one example of the attacks coming out there. And we also see that, you know, the whole issue, that our denomination based on, you know, the whole pro-life issue, you know, born out of the pro-life movement. You know, well, it should be the woman's choice. Abortions, I don't believe in it, but it should be the woman's choice. Well, did you ask the baby? What would they say? I mean, there's a couple of them in the back there. I think they'd have a lot to say if they knew, you know, they were in the discussion. What would they say? You know? No, but it's just a lump of tissue. It's just, you know, some... Well, okay. Well, what's it going to be? Why is it that? You know, if it's not a baby, then you're not pregnant. These are the attacks coming in society. And there are many others. There are many others. And God says, be sober, be vigilant, resist him, the devil. Resist the devil, steadfast in the faith. And the rest of that, that's 1 Peter 5:9. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You can resist him because you're not the only one going through this. As much as we like to think that we're really unique, the reality is a lot of other people going through the same things that we go through. That's one of the reasons we gather as the Christian community, isn't it? We find strength and encouragement with and for one another. So the way to do all of this, and it's almost like we're just even going to mention this today because we're not even, you know, really going to be able to get into how to put on the armor of God or what that is. But we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. With the armor of God, no matter what comes at you, you will be able to resist and to stand. Through God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the presence of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We'll stop there. I mean, that's enough right there. That's not even the whole of the passage. So how do we do it? Here it is. It's real simple. It's the simplest, most difficult thing you'll ever do. Does that make sense? Because it's right here. Put on, it says, gird your waist with the truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, a shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and sword of the Spirit. So the bottom line is, you need to know what's in here. You need to know what God says about these things. You know, when you get into those conversations, when you hear those things that somehow you think, boy, that's just not right. You know, that's a good indication that there's something in God's Word that isn't right about what you're hearing. And the more you know of this, the better off you are. The more you can resist, the more temptation you can withstand if you know the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, you know, he tells the devil, you know, you're not going to get me with this. You know, because salvation comes by the Word of God. Salvation comes by the Word of God. It's a paraphrase of looking at Matthew chapter 4. You know, take a look at that. Jesus is able to resist temptation by quoting to Satan from the Scripture. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this is where it starts when you do all of these things. This is where you start. You got to know what the truth is. The breastplate of righteousness. You got to be able to stand for what's right. Knowing that things are going to poke at you and prod at you. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have to be able to take this message out into the world, to take it with you wherever you go. To be a person that brings the love and the peace of the gospel. And take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Okay, the attacks are going to come. It doesn't say just in case. It says that it will happen and your faith will allow you to resist those attacks. And it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. You've been through things. Everybody's been through things. And we know how difficult it is. And we know sometimes and that it just doesn't... Sometimes it doesn't seem like it's going to end. Sometimes we think we have no way out. Sometimes we think it's just too hard. Why don't I just give up? All of those things. But look at Ephesians 6:18. When you put on this armor of God, we're told that we should be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. And that may be the key to the whole thing. That may be the key to it all, is that we must always be in that conversation with God, which allows us to learn these things, which allows us to recognize those things out there that are being thrown at us, and allows us, above all, to stand. A very, very short teaching here on putting on the armor of God, and we'll get into more of these things, you know, as we go along. But rest assured for now that if we want at the end to stand, having done all to stand, this is what we need to do. Starts with prayer, starts with faith, starts with knowing God's Word, starts with being able to recognize what's going on in the world and say, you know what, this isn't right. Even if that's all it is, something prompting you and urging you, you know, to say, this isn't right, you know, search out the Word of God. That's a command that Jesus gives us. We're to search out the Word of God to find these truths because they're there. God didn't teach us on some things and then on other things not give us any instruction. It's all there. It's all there. Again, back to that argument of you know, the whole same-sex marriage thing. One of the things that we'll hear is, well, God, you know, Jesus didn't say anything about it, so I guess we just figure that out with what's going on in society and in the culture. Well, as soon as you say Jesus didn't say something about something, you've given up on His Word. Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to teach you all of these wonderful commandments in this area of your life, but over here, you're on your own. Let me know how it goes. That's not our God. That's not our God. If you search the Scriptures, you can find what God has for us. Even with, you know, the issues, you know, all the issues of technology today, Jesus didn't have an iPad and, you know, wasn't walking around with headphones. I guess those are even obsolete now. I don't know. But you will find teachings in Holy Scripture that allow us to deal with that You know, as we've talked about before, the issue of pornography. The addiction to pornography is as prevalent in the church as it is in any part of the unchurched culture. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. But Jesus speaks about that. Jesus talks about the things that we put into our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and how we are to keep them clean and pure. Be sober. That's one of the ways of being sober. And those things with which anyone struggles, we take them to prayer. Those things that might be addictions, we take them to prayer. And then we seek help where help can be found. But the first thing we do, we're sober, we're vigilant, we're steadfast in prayer, and we put on this armor of God. We, you know, imagine yourself putting it on. I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm putting on this shield that God gives me. I'm taking up this sword, which is the sword of the Spirit of God. The Word of God. The very Word of God. It says this: the sword is the Word of God. And you're taking it on. And guess what? You know, how do, think about this, okay? If you think, you know, that Satan is out there, and think about those attacks, when God says take up the sword of the Spirit, how do you fight with the sword? You got to be pretty darn close to somebody to fight with the sword, don't you? You've got a sword and a shield. You know? It's not like it's going to be something that's out there. It's going to be something that's right here. And it's the shield. It's the sword. It's the truth. It's the faith. All of that is going to help us to resist and to stand. That's what it's all about. Well, as we finish today, I think one of the important things to realize, this being that third Sunday in Advent, this is a rejoicing Sunday. We heard that message of John the Baptist. You know, perhaps in relationship to this, one of the greatest lessons we can take from today is that John, in no uncertain terms, realizes and says to those who are speaking with him, he says, "I am not the Christ. Don't look at me. I'm a sinner. I'm just like you are. I've got all the same problems." You know, that's what 1 Peter tells us. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And I think the lesson to learn from John today, as we contemplate all these things and as we prepare for the season of Christmas, is that God is God. You're not. You cannot do it by yourself. John says, "I am not the Christ." And that may be a place for all of us to start as we try to deal with the things in our lives that might be attacking us from every side. Is, you know what? I am not the Christ. Jesus, my Savior. He's my Christ. And that's where we turn for help. Let us pray. Father God, we ask your blessing on each person here today as we contemplate these things in Holy Scripture, as we look at those things which attack us from all sides in our life, those things that might attack us personally, individually, that would be right here next to us, Lord, that are pounding against the shield that we hold. Father, we also ask that you lead us and guide us in those things in our society and in our culture, where the culture would tell us one thing, but we know that your word says something else. Father, help us to read, mark, learn, inwardly digest these words of Holy Scripture, that we can resist the temptations, that we can resist the attacks of the devil, that we can stand firm in our faith, and when it's all said and done, above all else, that we stand. Father, bless each one here today as we contemplate these things. Let them know that by your holy and precious word, that the victory is ours through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.